Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, December 30th. I'm Ray Graff. It has been a challenging year for law enforcement all across the country. Violence has been up in many major cities. There have been calls from some quarters to defund the police. And across much of the country, police forces are being asked to take a look at race and issues of racism and have a good hard look at that. Here to discuss all of that and to take your questions, Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo on the line. If you would like a question to get in to the program, I suggest you get in line early. 800-348-2551 is the number, 1-800-348-2551. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Chief Hawkins, Sheriff Zerlo, and your calls coming up. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We're discussing policing today on the program with Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo. Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins began his career in the Michigan Police Department in 1990. He earned a Juris Doctor from Western Michigan University Cooley Law School, a Master of Science in Administration from Central Michigan University, a Bachelor of Science in Public Administration from Central Michigan University, and an Associate's in Business Administration from Oakland Community College. Chief Hawkins was sworn in as Albany's 25th Police Chief in 2018. Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo was elected in 2013. He's a lifelong resident of Saratoga County, a graduate of Mechanicville High School, former judge of the town of Stillwater. Sheriff Zerlo has spent more than 30 years in law enforcement, working for the Saratoga County Sheriff's Department as a deputy, sergeant, lieutenant, and senior criminal investigator. If you have a question for either or both of these two gentlemen, give us a call, 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Sheriff Zerlo, Chief Hawkins, welcome back to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you, Ray. It's always good to be here, and good to hear from you also, Sheriff.
Oh, maybe he's taking a nap. Are you there? No, Sheriff, we may have lost Sheriff Zerlo, or maybe he's out on a...
You there, Ray?
Yeah, hello. Are you there?
Oh, there you are. Hey, yeah, right. Good. Yeah.
Well, how's everybody doing? Everybody healthy, first of all?
Yes, doing good. Yes, doing well. Thank you.
All right, well, I tell you what, there's a lot to talk about today, and once again, the number is 800-348-2551. Let's start with the news of the day, and that has been the news of the day for... some 11 months now, COVID-19, and I'll throw this one to you, Sheriff Zerlo. Warren County has linked several COVID-19 cases to an underage drinking party in the Saratoga County town of Wilton in mid-December. Where does public safety come in preventing these kind of gatherings?
Well, we would hope that the public and the parents would know better in regards to these type of events. We're aware of something that took place there. We will investigate it thoroughly, and we'll see where it takes us.
I mean, will households involved in these kind of events face any charges, especially considering the pandemic and the threat to the public?
Potentially. We need to get the details first, and then once we conclude our investigation and interview the necessary people and witnesses, will make a determination on how we're going to proceed.
Have you reached out at all and begun that investigation?
It has begun, yes.
Okay. Chief Hawkins, and you know, guys, at least once I'm going to call you Sheriff Hawkins, and I will call you Chief Zerlo, because that's the way we do this show. But so far...
You know, I don't mind at all, Ray. Sheriff sounds real cool to me.
All right, well, we'll get you a big 10-gallon hat. And, you know, the whole... All right, Chief Hawkins, back in the early days of the pandemic, the Center for Law and Justice in Albany published a 15-page report on structural racism and public safety in Albany. And among other things, it called upon city leaders to acknowledge the existence of structural racism in the police department. Do you, sir, feel there is structural racism in the Albany Police Department?
You know, I've always said that police departments, all of our public institutions, are reflections of society. And I don't think anybody disagrees with the fact or the notion that there's structural racism in society. And so So my response to those questions it has consistently been, of course, because we represent society, just like our educational institutions, our business community, you know, every sector of our society is a reflection of that. And so, but the most important thing is, what are we doing about it? And I've been saying consistently that we're putting things in place within my department to address, you know, any types of discrimination or racism or bias, whether it's racial or gender or gender identity or sexual orientation, whatever it may be, we're putting practices and policies and establishing a culture that does not promote any of those things.
You know, we'll get to the calls in a moment, but if you could just take a minute and tell us about the Time to Talk, the T3C3 program, if you would.
Yeah, so what's unique about that program is that it was community driven. A lot of times when we have programs that are designed to build relationships between the police and the community, it's something that was born within the police or the sheriff's departments. Well, this was a program that was organic from the community. You know, I had community members come to me and say, we want to create a program that will allow community members to interact on a regular basis with police officers, and not command officers and not chiefs and community officers, but regular patrol officers, to talk about issues in a non-confrontational setting where they can just kind of talk about some of these things that are sometimes difficult to talk about. And we created this program. We've had a pilot program for about a couple of months, and we launched it officially about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we're very, very excited about the prospects with that.
We're joined today by Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo. If you have a question, the number is 800-348-2551. Just a couple more from me, and then we'll take a break and we'll hit the phones. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Sheriff Zerlo, early December, Saratoga County came under some fire for lack of racial diversity in its policing reform collaborative. We had the Democratic chairman of the county, Todd Kerner, criticizing county leaders. When 7 white county administrators and elected officials were appointed for the group of 8 on the collaborative. What's your response to that, Sheriff Zerlo?
Well, I think the group that we have is a great group. I think they've had 7 meetings already. We've met with all our stakeholders throughout the county. It's been a very engaged process that we've, you know, put forth here. Our next step is that we're going to open it up to the public. I believe our first meeting will be January 5th via Zoom, and you can go to our Facebook page to follow the link in order to engage it. Then there'll be another meeting for the public to share any ideas, concerns, complaints on January 7th, same time at 6 p.m. But I think the group that we have in place are open-minded, and the meetings that we've had, including with our stakeholders, have been very productive.
We'll do a couple of more here, and this has been, from, I don't know about you, Sheriff Zerlo, but for some of the big cities, it has been a bloody year. New York City closing the books, a 40% rise in killings in 2020. Albany had a really rough year, and I don't know. Chief Hawkins, you've been on this show many times, and you were on this show in the middle of the summer, and things were really at a boiling point. How do you hope to prevent this from happening in 2021?
You know, this is something that really caught law enforcement off guard, in a sense. But it wasn't just the institution of law enforcement that was caught off guard. You know, many systems in our country were caught off guard with this. And so one of the things that we learned is that we have to have our internal systems in a place where we can all respond, no matter what the natural disaster or pandemic or whatever it may be happens. And so we learned a lot, and we learned how to continue to engage with our community despite things like this happening. We learned how to maintain the effectiveness of our criminal justice system as a whole when we're encountering these natural disasters or pandemics. And so it, going forward, I think we're more prepared to deal with either a pandemic or anything else that may happen. And I think that we'll have a lot more success moving forward.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we will go to the phones. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo is with us today, as is Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. Your calls, your emails coming up. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. The number is 800-348-2551 if you would like to talk to Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and or Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo. The email address is voxpopwamc.org. And here's one that came in a little while ago via email. This is from Fran. Fran first thanks you both for being here and then writes, I'd like to hear the sheriff and chief's opinion on the need to have the majority of police officers at large to possess the capability to apply lethal force in the dispatch of their duties. Do you think a policing model is possible where lethal force is more selectively and less universally available to the police force? Throw it to Sheriff Zerlo first.
Yeah, I think a model, it's something that we could put together, you know, and again, our deputies are put in the moment, you know, when something happens, they do have training. They have training through the basic school when they go for training, and we continuously train on the uses of force here. We have simulators that we use for the deputies to use. We do training throughout the summer, so I think we do a pretty good job at it here. There's always room for improvement, and I would entertain you know more training.
Chief Hawkins.
You know, I agree with the sheriff. And, you know, it's interesting. There is a publication that was released just recently from the Bureau of Justice Statistics where they looked at the uses of force by law enforcement personnel and what percentage of those uses of force or context, police context that resulted in use of force. And what it showed was that nationwide there was over 60 million police contacts with the public. And of those contacts, about half of them, roughly 30 million, were police-initiated contacts. And of those police-initiated contacts, less than 1% resulted in any threat or actual use of force by an officer. So I think first, like the sheriff is saying, I think the officers are doing a great job considering the amount of contacts that we're having with the public. There's a perception that there's this rampant abuse of force when, in fact, less than 1% of the contacts are resulting in that. But even given that, I think, like the sheriff said, there's still some things that we can always do better in terms of training our officers, but also educating the public on police interactions as well and how the public can help us to reduce those amounts of use of force even further.
It's Vox Pop today. We're talking policing with Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo. The number is 800-348-2551. Before the calls, Sheriff Zerlo, let's dovetail from that email. In July, there was some friction in Saratoga over law enforcement's use of armored vehicle, or an armored vehicle anyway, and pepper spray bullets on Black Lives Matter protesters on Broadway. Some members of the community called for defunding of the police. Is there another side to the story of what happened in July that people aren't seeing?
There is, and it's been, you know, shown in video that was obtained, that was taken that night. Our members, along with the other law enforcement that was there at scene, we're effecting an arrest, and the group kind of came towards the officers that were trying to effect that arrest, and the deployment of the lethal pepper balls were deployed. It moved the group back. The arrest was effected. No law enforcement was injured. None of the protesters were injured, and none of the residents of the city that were there were injured. So there is another side to the story. It's been put out there, and That's all I have, you know, to say about the incident.
Chief Hawkins, your force has occasionally used these pepper spray bullets as well. Exactly how do these work, and are they true? Can they be lethal if used in the wrong way?
Yes, they can be. That use of force can be misused, and it can be lethal if it was if it struck a person in a part of the body that's vulnerable. I mean, you know, the officers are taught, you know, first that it's a last resort sort of thing. You know, it's a way, like the sheriff said, when we have these crowd control issues, and we don't want to necessarily send officers into the crowd and engaging in hand-to-hand combat in order to disperse the crowd, because that's really one of the options. And so we want to try to avoid that. And so if we have these violent individuals who are within the crowd, and we can identify these violent individuals who are actively engaging in assaultive or maybe even deadly force behavior themselves against the officers, then that is a tool that the officers can use. So it is part of it. It's not something, like the sheriff alluded to, that we use every day or every time. It's selectively used, and it's only used against the more violent individuals within those crowds.
All right, guys, let's jump to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number. Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo is here, and Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins is here as well. Chris is in Albany. Chris, you're first. Go.
Hi, Chief Hawkins. From a public safety point of view, this is somewhat unrelated to the conversation right now, but currently in Albany, there seems to be a fair number of dirt bikes and ATVs running around without plates and popping wheelies, and I'm just curious what kind of actions the police department is taking to try and get that under control. I recognize that you don't want to hurt somebody accidentally, right? So, please.
That's a great question, and I saw that myself yesterday on Central Avenue. In fact, this guy had a four-wheel ATV. It was nicer than my car, and he was popping wheelies going the other way on Central. So what do you do about that, Chief Hawkins?
Well, and thank you for the question. I mean, it's an extremely dangerous situation. You know, they're placing their lives and the lives of other folks at risk, adding to the instability of our roads when they're doing that. But we also understand, just like the caller alluded to, that we don't want to add to the instability or the danger or risk on our roads by engaging in chases or pursuits with these ATVs. Along our streets. And so we employ a number of different strategies, and we've been successful in a sense, not nearly as successful as I think we can be, but we've had some success by using some undercover officers in terms of following these ATVs along the streets. And then once they stop, then we can engage them in a safe manner in that way and either confiscate the bikes, issue citations, or make arrests if necessary. We've got drones now, and we're going to be using drones as a way of identifying where they're storing these ATVs and four-wheelers in our city. And also the intelligence between the Tri-County area, the three cities in this area, you know, Albany, Troy, and Schenectady, because what we're finding is that they're going between our cities, and so we're sharing intelligence to find out who these individuals are, where they're coming from, where they're storing these vehicles, and we're having some success. And this year, we're going to ramp it up a little bit more, get some more undercover officers out there, and hopefully we can really, you know, make some progress with this. But it's extremely dangerous. Education and awareness is important as well. We're talking with our parents and other folks in the community about how dangerous these are to either buy or purchase or allow their loved ones to have these. So dangerous situation, but we're very aware of it, and we prioritize it.
That's amazing to me that you find that some are actually traveling between Albany and Troy. I could see Schenectady. You jump on Central Ave, and it's a straight shot on Route 5. But to get to Troy from Albany, that's a long stretch. And heaven forbid somebody's on a dirt bike on 787. That's really dangerous. Hey, question about the drones, though. Who in your department is manning the drones, and are you getting FAA approval for these things?
Yes, they have to be approved. The operators have to be approved almost as if they had a pilot's license. But they have to be approved and certified to operate the drones. They're operated out of one of our specialized units. Right now, we have four or five who are certified to operate, and our plan is to have a half dozen or maybe even a dozen officers who are certified to do so.
That's really cool. How about you, Sheriff Zerlo? Do you have drones flying around Saratoga County?
We do. We have three. I've got several operators. We use them for search and rescue, and we use them a lot for our accident reconstruction. We'll fly it over the scene. They'll be able to document and take pictures of the scene. Gives us a better perspective as to a possible cause of that accident.
We're joined today by Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo and Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins, who I have not called sheriff once on this program, and we're halfway through. All right, let's try to keep that going. Chris in New York City. Chris, you're on. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Yeah, so, yeah, that thing with the ATVs, man, you know, because I live in the Bronx, and, man, sometimes you see them, like, 50 deep. And, listen, it's clearly young guys that's involved in gangs, and it's, like, some kind of thing, like, they roll on Fordham Road or, you know, East Tremont just to show that, you know, that they're dominant. It's, you know, they're all involved in gangs.
Now, that's a good point, Chris. Well, go ahead. I was just going to ask Chief Hawkins if he agrees with that.
Well, I'm not getting any intelligence that these are organized gangs who are doing this, but regardless, I mean, they're dangerous. They're inconsiderate. They are putting people's lives at risk. And they definitely need to be addressed.
All right, Chris, I'm sorry I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, just saying, as a black man, you know, I've been formerly incarcerated, but it was off of white collar stuff. You know, I've worked and paid taxes the majority of my life, been stopped by the police. At the same token, I know there's tons of respectful officers out there because every time I'm driving, you know, I always give them the right of way. You know, I could be having a line of people behind me. Always give officers the right of way because they always like respect. What I don't appreciate is, you know, if I'm driving, like it happened in Newburgh, and the state police pulled me over on 17K. I forgot to put my lights on. It was nighttime. Pulled me over. You know, had me do the sobriety test and all this nonsense. He let me go, but I just felt like why do all that? And I got pulled over in Glenville a few years ago trying to find an address in Schenectady.
Wow.
I had to go to court. You know, they made me go to court. I was like, well, let me pay the thing. I'll mail in the fine, but they insisted I go to court knowing I live in New York City. So it's just, you know, those instances, I think, you know, officers need to, you know, respect everyone as a whole more, but there's lots of respectful officers out there, man, you know, cause I've asked them questions, you know.
Yeah,
you know where to get to such and such place, and you have a lot of cool guys out there.
All right, let's let both of our police officers respond to that, Chief Hawkins.
I'm hanging up now.
All right, man. Well, thanks for the call.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate his call, his perspective, and you know, a lot of it is it's just that perspective, and you know, when we hear things like this, it's important that we listen and see if there's something that could have been done. But I don't have enough of the facts to respond specifically to what he was talking about, but I appreciate his comments.
And Sheriff Zerlo.
Yeah, likewise. I need, you know, to have more information in regards to the incidences he was involved in, but appreciate his perspective. And, it's, you know, something that does happen, and, you know, more information is needed to comment as to, you know, what took place.
And I also sympathize with him getting lost in Schenectady and ended up in Glenville. I was in Rotterdam and ended up in Glenville one time. So certainly that is possible in that neck of the woods. Let's go to Fred in Albany. Fred, you're on.
Hi, Chief Hawkins. This question is addressed to Chief Hawkins.
Sure.
You mentioned a national survey that was conducted that talked about the number of police interactions nationwide and how many of those police interactions resulted in some form or some level of use of force? My question is, when you look at a survey like that, the problem isn't nationwide, at least from my perspective as a black man. It isn't nationwide police interactions. It's police interactions nationwide as it relates to people of color. So when you put out those type of numbers, it diminishes the importance of police interaction with people of color and in neighborhoods predominantly lived in by people of color. Can you address that?
Yes, certainly. And I appreciate the comment. And I just had two quick responses to that. First, I agree with you. I don't think anybody should put out anything that diminishes that dynamic between law enforcement and the relationship between the minority community. You know, I started in law enforcement in 1990, right at the when we had the Rodney King riots, and I knew the racial dynamics as a brand new rookie officer then, and now in 2020 as a police chief, you know, I've experienced the same rage and outrage with the George Floyd incident in Minnesota. So my career has been bookended by these two racially polarizing incidents involving police. And what's distressing to me is that the same things that we were talking about in 1990 in terms of the relationship between police and the minority community are the same things that we're talking about 30 years later. So I would never put anything out there to diminish it because I know how what's happening and how important that is. But I just put that out there just for perspective. And incidentally, you know, they broke it down by race as well. And the percentage was about the same, you know, in terms of when you look at the amount of contacts with members of the minority community that resulted in use of force, it was right about the same. But again, that's not to diminish this, we're dealing with this dynamic that we're dealing with at all. There's still much more work to be done, but I just put it out there for perspective.
Fred, you want to follow up?
Yes. And another question, I'm sorry, unrelated. The new bill that's that Governor Cuomo just signed, and I think it's 58. So if I'm not correct, you can correct me, please. Where it discusses police backgrounds and their records, disciplinary records. How do you feel about that?
I think that
do you support
it's something that?
Yes.
I think that is that we should be open and transparent as much as we can, as long as we're fair to the officers. You know, and I think this is something that it's obviously it's law now, and it's something that we have come to, you know, we expected this to happen in law enforcement, and now we accept it in law enforcement. Personally, I think that it's fair, but again, I think that the implementation of it, you know, and how we put it into practice, you know, we have to make sure that we're fair to the men and women who are out there protecting and serving.
Fred, thanks a lot for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo join us today. And we'll take one more before the next break. Chris in Housatonic. Hello, Chris.
Yeah, Mike and Eric. I got a question for you. Why does police and state police like hide and off the road sometimes? And I noticed that when I was traveling on the Teutonic State Parkway one time, many, many years ago, that the state troopers hide where passengers can't see them. And I was wondering why that happens.
Speak for my department, Chris, and it's good speaking with you, is, you know, it's about traffic enforcement. It's trying to keep the roadway safe to make sure that there's no speeders out there and that the other vehicles on the roadway are kept, you know, we keep them in a safe manner. So it's just, you know, making sure that the speeders are, you know, engaged and keeping our roadway safe.
Do you have a drone with a radar gun on it yet?
Not yet.
You're gonna get one though, aren't you?
Thinking about it.
All right. Well, then we'll call you Chief Zerlo for that one and Sheriff Hawkins. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Policing Today. More of your calls and emails coming up. Fox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. It's Policing Today. Always great to have Sheriff Michael Zerlo of Saratoga County and Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins with us on the program. Sheriff Zerlo, this email from Pat in Ballston Spa directly to you. Under what circumstances does a sheriff have the right to decide not to enforce a law? And that's from Pat in Ballston Spa.
We enforce the law. I don't know what he's getting at. It may be the gathering law for Thanksgiving, which was not a law.
Could be anything.
You know, as the sheriff? Yeah, it could be. I don't. He needs to be more specific for me to answer the question.
All right, this one I'll throw up to both of you guys. This one's from Judy. You're doing the speed limit. Someone comes up behind and tailgates. What should a person do? Is pulling over at an available spot the best choice? And we've all been there. And that's from Judy. We'll go to Chief Hawkins first.
I would say under those circumstances, if she can safely get to a lane to allow that person to pass, that would be the best option. And if that's not possible and this person is doing some things that gives her some cause for her personal safety, then yes, at that point, she may want to either look for a populated area to pull over and to let that person pass, or if she's really concerned about her safety, she can always call 911.
What do you think, Sheriff Zerlo?
I agree with the chief. If you could pull over safely and let the car pass, do that. If you can't, and again, you know, find an area where you can get off and let the car move on. If it turns into an issue or whatever, dial 911. Have law enforcement come to assist you.
Hey, how often do you deal with complaints about road rage, Sheriff?
We get quite a few. You know, we have a lot of major highways here. We get complaints probably weekly in regards to people driving erratically or tailgating and stuff. But it does happen, and it's something that should not happen, but occasionally we get those type of complaints.
I mean, what qualifies? If I were to flip somebody the bird, let's say, on the highway, that's okay, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the way you're operating your car. If you're engaging a person, if, you know, somebody gets cut off or whatever, then you're going after the car and you're endangering yourself.
Yeah.
And the other, you know, the other vehicles and people on the roadway. So wouldn't recommend it to happen. Just, you know, if you need to blow off steam, do it some other way. Yell out the window.
Not that I would ever flip anyone the bird. But all right. This email from John. John says, I'm part of a group trying to work for more racial sensitivity and justice in our small town. For example, a situation we're faced with is an open display of blackface lawn jockey statues. In one case, this is coupled with large political banners on their barn that would lead one to assume they're gun owners. An African-American child of one of the groups points to such displays as a reason they don't feel safe. In ongoing conversations with our own police force, how would you recommend, and we'll throw this one to the chief first, we discuss addressing such a display and the inclination of some to engage such people or protest it?
Yeah, and I'm not quite clear on exactly, where the question is going. But, you know, with stuff like this, I think it's critically important to have community stakeholders involved in the solution for this. There's this impulse a lot of times with issues like this to have the police be the driving force and making it go away. Now, if it's a criminal matter, yes, absolutely. If somebody is in fear, legitimately in fear for their lives, absolutely. But when we have situations like what I think was just described, I think we have to get a cross-section of community stakeholders to get in a room together right now, because of COVID, you know, probably via Zoom or some way of communicating to talk it out to and work their way through it with the police as a part of the problem, a part of the solution and not the driving force in the solution.
We're joined today on the program by Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo and Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. And let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Carolyn in Schuylerville. Carolyn, you're up.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi.
I am wondering about, you spoke earlier about training that you have and that for police use of force and using, I think you said simulations in there for them to get acclimated to be how to behave in a situation and what force would be appropriate. And I'm wondering if there has been a study done or is there a discussion even within law enforcement agencies about the types of TV shows and media that law enforcement regularly views. For example, one of the more popular shows in the country is Blue Bloods. And there are many others. That's just the only one that I can think of. And in these shows, the officers involved, several of them often unload their guns onto perpetrators. And I'm wondering if there has been any study done or any discussion, as I said, within law enforcement about the effects, subliminal effects, but those kinds of TV shows and media are just as exemplary of simulations as the controlled simulations that you
right.
might do in the training.
Right,
and
gotcha.
So I'm wondering, what are the effects of that? Has it been evaluated? And do you regularly discuss it? Do you encourage your law enforcement personnel to avoid certain shows that do that? Because there are some shows out there that don't have high body count.
We got you. All right, Chief Hawkins, you first.
I think the bigger risk with those shows is expectations from the community when they see them. I think our officers get it. You know, our officers are they're sophisticated enough to know real from what's happening on TV. You know, there's a number of shows out there. There's always has been, but and they're trained for de-escalation. They're trained to know when to use force and all of these things. But I think the bigger opportunity here anyway is for members of our community to understand that what they see on some of these shows is not necessarily accurate, in that you know crimes aren't solved within 30 minutes and things like that. And so but I think our officers get it though.
Sheriff Zerlo, what's the most accurate police show on TV?
I have no idea.
No?
Ray. Not really.
I watch the Old Person Channel, and I watch Dragnet every morning. And the one thing I've learned about that is the coffee in policing is very bad. They don't have good coffee. True or not true?
No, I getting back to the point, I agree with the chief. You know, we do simulation training here in the department, you know, for our people. I'm not aware of the survey or, you know, these TV shows, like the chief said, within 30 minutes the crime solved and stuff. I think our guys do a fabulous job along with, you know, all law enforcement in this area for de-escalation. So
But I think that the caller's point is an interesting one, in that there are a lot of violent TV shows, and there are a lot of police shows. Do you think there is any effect on, you know, listen, back in the 50s and 60s, there were Westerns and there were shoot 'em ups. Has there been anything that you've seen in your professional work where, okay, TV is a factor here? I don't believe it.
I have not seen it. There's nothing that I'm aware of.
Chief Hawkins.
You know, the same, Ray. You know, there's a lot of influences, whether it's TV or it's things on social media. You know, I mean, there's some things that are put out on some of our social media platforms that people assume are true, but they don't have much factual basis to them. So there's a lot out there. But I think the important thing is to make sure, like the sheriff said, that our officers are trained appropriately, that they're able to respond under stress. They're able to understand when and when not to use force, and when they do, how to de-escalate appropriately. And I think, for the most part, our officers get it.
Real life is not TV. That's the key. Christine in East Durham. Christine, you're on.
Yes, hi. My question is to your panel, and it kind of feeds in off of the last comments they made. Actually, it's a two-part question on how the police and community interact. The first question is, years ago, many years ago, there used to be the cop on the beat who knew everybody in their neighborhood. They knew him, and he knew them very well. He was not only a police officer, but he was a friend. He knew families. He knew everybody in the neighborhood. That seems to have gone by the wayside. And I was wondering if in this environment of today, if that might be a very simple answer to some of the problems we're having right now. And also the second question I have is regarding the kind of militarization of local police offices around the country, the armored vehicles, the surplus military gear that they're getting from the government. So I just would like them to address that. And it's just how, you know, because when you see that on TV and you see in the United States of America, cops coming in heavy gear and these armored vehicles.
All right.
A lot of times you ask yourself, what country are we in?
Okay, so
I'm just curious.
You're not a fan of then military grade vehicles. All right, but let's go back to your first question, the cop on the beat. And Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins, I see it very often in downtown Albany when I'm at work.
Yeah, absolutely. We just within the last year, we're requiring all of our patrol officers who normally would only respond to runs, would respond to calls for service, and then once the call was done, they'd go to another call. Now those officers are being required to walk the beat for a portion of their shift. And so what this is doing is helping to have this community policing ethic permeate the entire organization and not just our regular beat officers, because we have them also. We have regular officers who are assigned to do solely that. So now our entire department is doing that. And so I think the caller is absolutely right. I think this is a way for us to connect more with the community and have our officers understand that we have to work with our community in order to resolve problems. And it's to her second question, you know, we don't have any equipment that we've gotten from the government. We do have some armored vehicles. We do have some equipment that is designed to protect our officers if they're in some sort of a high risk and dangerous situation. And incidentally, the armored vehicle that we have has not only saved our officers' lives, but it's helped us to save other people's lives also, because there are some people out there who have some high-powered weapons, who have bad intentions, and they want to do some bad things to people. And so this equipment and these tools help us to keep our officers safe while saving lives out on the field also.
Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo, let's address that last point first and regarding armored vehicles, et cetera, in your department.
Yeah, I agree with the chief. We have one, and it's used to protect our officers. We get called out quite a few times for different scenarios throughout the county. We're asked to assist other agencies in the county. And it's more for the safety of the residents and our officers and even the people that are involved in the incident when we show up at a residence. So it's more of a safety factor to protect our officers. Getting back to her first point, I totally agree with her. When I worked locally in the Mechanicville Police Department, we were out on the beat constantly. It's tough for us to do that in 810 square miles in the county. So I've developed substations throughout the county where the officers work in the same area and hopefully develop that relationship with the residents.
How many substations are there in Saratoga County?
I have six.
We are joined today by Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo and Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. And in the waning moments, let's grab a couple of more calls here. And we go to Gloversville. And Evie, you're on.
Hi, Ray. It's Evie. Hi, gentlemen. My question
hi.
Is, I was raised, hello?
Hello.
Hi, Ray. I was raised in an Irish Catholic family, and my father was a policeman, and so are my two brothers. And I have a real respect for the police. My question is, do the police have to keep up with continuing education yearly or however, you know, however many hours you have to accumulate to have been trained in every year, like a police, like a lawyer does, or a social worker has to.
Right.
Teacher has to. I'm just wondering, police do.
Let's throw it to Michael Zerlo. For education for police?
Absolutely. We're an accredited police agency, and part of that accreditation process is continuous training, which we do year-round for the deputies.
Chief Hawkins.
Same as the sheriff. Same answer.
And we had an email here, and thank you, Evie, for that one. We appreciate it. We had an email from Josh, just came in. And Josh's question, any thoughts on requiring a bachelor's degree to become an officer? Seems like some of the problems could be minimized through education. That is from Josh. Sheriff Zerlo.
I believe some municipalities or agencies do require that right now. But, some type of college degree would, I'm all for that.
What about you, Eric?
I don't think it's a bad idea. I think that it would presented some challenges in terms of recruiting because, you know, not every, college is not for everybody. You know, we have some good, young, enterprising, conscientious young men and women who, you know, they're just, college is just not for them. But they can be excellent servants to our community. And I think that by requiring that, it kind of, you know, tightens our pool of people in our departments, especially mine. We're short staffed right now, and we're having trouble recruiting with the conditions that we have right now. And I think that extra condition would make it a little bit more difficult. I'm not opposed to it. I think that the more education that a person gets, the better. But I think we've got to be careful with it because we may exclude some really, really good people from this profession.
You know, let's talk about recruiting for a moment. Now, you guys were both on in the summer, I think a couple of times over the summer. And Chief Hawkins, I know at least once we talked about recruiting being very difficult over the previous several months. Any improvement there?
It's still difficult, still a challenge, but it's nationwide. And I know the sheriff is experiencing the same thing, I'm sure, on his side. It's just a difficult time. There's a lot of stuff going on right now. You know, right now, our young people aren't seeing policing in such a favorable light right now because of some of the things they've seen over the last year and couple of years. And then, when the economy is good, there's and unemployment is down, people have other options and they're doing things like that. And so it's presented some challenges, but we have an academy class that we'll be graduating within the next couple of weeks of about 20 young men and women, and we're going to start another one right on the heels of that. We're hoping that we can get somewhere between 30 and 40 there. So despite the challenges, we're getting the people in here.
Sheriff Zerlo.
Yes, it's presented some challenges for us likewise. Like the chief said, prior to this year, everybody wanted to become a police officer. They've seen what's happened throughout the country. But again, we'll be putting a few people in the next police class, which will start in February. And hopefully that'll bring us up to full strength. So,
well, I can't thank you both enough for being here. And I got to believe that the COVID pandemic has made it even more difficult to get these classes through and get more recruits on the force. But, hey, guys, we'll talk to you in 2021. Be safe, be healthy, and we'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right, thanks, Ray. Take care, Sheriff.
Same, Chief. Take care. Thanks, Ray.
See ya. Support comes from Vision XL Eye Care, Lake Katrine Exams, Eye Care, Dry Eye Therapy, and now new American-made frames where eyewear is an art. VisionXLEyeCare.com. And Personal Wine Cellar, Glenville, offering a selection of red and white wines and spirits. Wine tasting every Thursday and Friday. Monthly scotch and bourbon tasting. Home delivery available. 518-399-9463. Once again, a big thanks to Chief Hawkins and Sheriff Zerlo for joining us today. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for calling. We appreciate your great questions. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer, our producer, Jackie Orchard. Matthew Plummer took the calls today. Nicely done. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow on the program, it's The Gardening Show. Stand by now for 51%.